All right, everybody, welcome back for another deep dive. You know, we love to go deep here. And today we're going to be talking about something pretty massive, pretty ambitious, the potential economic impact of, you know, if we were to build a whole new electric grid in the U.S.
Wow.
I mean, this is a big one, right?
It is.
This is game changer territory.
Yeah.
And we've seen these kind of ambitious projects in the past shape the U.S. I mean, you think about the internet.
Absolutely.
You think about the interstate highway system.
Yeah.
I mean, even going back to the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Yeah.
You know, these were huge infrastructure projects that really reshaped America. And, you know, the question we're going to try to unpack today is, could a new electric grid be the next big thing? You know, could this be the thing that kind of launches us into the next, economic era? That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
So we're going to be looking at this based on Jeff Bernard's in-depth research paper.
Right. And what's so interesting about this is, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think about the electric grid, they think about, well, you know, keeping the lights on, right?
Right.
Making sure the power is running. But Bernard's argument, it goes way beyond that. He really lays out a vision where a new grid could actually spark economic growth.
Okay.
All across the country, and especially in rural areas that, you know, haven't always benefited equally from economic booms in the past.
Interesting. So we're not just talking about, you know, wires and electrons here. We're talking about this as a potential economic engine for the whole nation.
Exactly.
I like it. So what are some of the key points that he makes, you know, in this research to kind of support that idea?
Well, he focuses on three main reasons for a new grid.
Okay.
National security is a big one.
Okay.
Keeping up with international competition.
Oh, yeah.
You know, China's investing heavily in their own grid technology.
Sure.
And then the third one, which is really what we're going to focus on today, is the potential for just massive economic stimulation here in the U.S.
Okay, so let's get into that. How does a new grid translate into, you know, actual dollars and cents, jobs growth? You know, what's the connection there?
Yeah, so Bernard's argument is that a modern grid can do wonders for, you know, both the national economy, but also regional economies. And in particular, he talks about rural areas.
Okay.
And he paints this picture, you know, imagine reliable, affordable power reaching every corner of the country.
Yeah.
And suddenly, businesses, industries that might never have considered setting up shop in these more remote locations, they start to take a second look.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's like opening up a whole new frontier for opportunity.
Exactly. And with that comes, you know, the potential for new jobs, new investments, and revitalization of these communities that have often been overlooked.
Makes sense. But, you know, let's be real here. Building a brand new electric grid from scratch.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be insanely expensive.
That would be a huge undertaking.
How could we possibly afford something like that?
Yeah, you're not wrong. The upfront costs would be significant. But Bernard's paper, it kind of cleverly shifts the focus to the long-term economic benefits.
Okay.
And this idea of what economists call the economic multiplier.
Okay, so break that down for me. What is an economic multiplier and how does it apply to a project like this?
So think of it this way. Every dollar that you invest in the grid, it has this ripple effect. It generates even more economic activity across different sectors. So it's like dropping a pebble in a pond. You know, the initial splash is just the beginning. But then those ripples spread out and they touch every part of the pond.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
So you're saying like a new grid could create this kind of similar boom and those ripples spread out across the whole economy.
That's the idea. And Bernard, in the paper, he points to a number of, you know, potential positive outcomes. A huge surge in job creation. You know, we're talking construction, engineering, manufacturing, and he even talks about, you know, the potential for more union jobs, better wages. He also argues that a new grid could lead to lower energy costs, which would make American businesses more competitive,
right,
you know, on the global stage. And it also puts more money back in the pockets of consumers so they have more to spend.
Right. So it kind of creates this
virtuous
cycle where everybody benefits.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, you're investing in this foundation that then supports a whole ecosystem of growth.
I like it. And is that it or is there more?
There's a modern, efficient grid. It signals to the world that the U.S. is serious about technology and sustainable development, so it could attract more foreign investment.
Right. So it's like we're putting up this big neon sign that says, you know, invest here. We're the future of clean energy.
Exactly. And then there's the less obvious gains, like a boost in productivity, fewer outages means businesses can operate more efficiently.
Right.
And then, of course, there's this whole realm of innovation and technological advancement. You know, a new grid requires cutting-edge technology, which means more research and development could create entirely new industries and, you know, make America a leader in the clean energy revolution.
I remember reading in the paper, he talks about the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with a modern electric grid?
Well, that's where Bernard really drives home his point about the potential for, you know, regional economic transformation.
Okay.
And the TVA, it's this powerful historical example of how a government-led infrastructure project can revitalize an entire region.
Remind me about the TVA. It was a while ago.
Yeah, so the TVA, it was created during the Great Depression.
Okay.
And the goal was to bring electricity to one of the poorest areas in the U.S., the Tennessee River Valley. And this was a massive undertaking. We're talking dams, power plants, transmission lines, the whole works.
It's kind of familiar.
Yeah, it's like what we're talking about today, just on a grander scale.
Yeah, exactly.
And the TVA, it brought not just light, but it brought jobs. It boosted agriculture. It really laid the groundwork for decades of economic growth in a region that had been struggling. And so Bernard uses this as an illustration of what a new grid could potentially do for struggling rural communities in the 21st century.
So the potential upside here is huge. I get it.
It is.
But every big project has risks, right?
Of course.
Didn't the paper talk about some things that could potentially dampen the economic impact? You know, even if we did everything right?
Yeah, absolutely. Bernard acknowledges that, you know, even with the best intentions, there are potential downsides. One concern he raises is what he calls import leakage.
Import leakage.
Yeah, it's this risk that we end up relying too heavily on foreign-made materials and equipment, you know, to build this new grid.
Oh, so instead of, you know, made in America, it's made somewhere else and the money's going out of the country.
Exactly. It kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
Another potential problem is what he calls savings leakage.
Savings leakage.
Yeah, and this is basically when people hoard any extra income they get instead of spending it.
Ah, so even if people's incomes are going up, if they're not spending it, it's not really helping the economy grow.
Exactly, and then there's the issue of high debt levels. You know, if businesses and individuals are already drowning in debt, they might use any extra income they get to pay that down, rather than invest or spend, which again limits the potential boost.
Right. It sounds like there's a lot to gain from a new grid, but it's not a guaranteed slam dunk. It really depends on how this whole project is managed, how we address these potential risks.
Exactly. And that's where Bernard's paper gets really interesting, because he doesn't just point out the problems, he offers potential solutions.
Okay.
He outlines a whole set of recommendations for how to maximize the economic benefits and minimize those risks.
Well, that sounds like the perfect segue into part two of our deep dive.
Indeed, it does. Let's explore those solutions next.
Okay, so last time we left off talking about some of those, you know, potential roadblocks, the things that could get in the way of this huge economic boom from a new electric grid.
Right.
We talked about, you know, import leakage, savings leakage, high debt levels, you know, all these things that could kind of rain on our parade. But you mentioned that Bernard, in this paper, he offers some solutions.
He does. Yeah, he's not just about identifying problems. You know, he wants to find ways to overcome them. And one of his key recommendations is what he calls targeted fiscal stimulus.
Okay. Targeted fiscal stimulus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, it means being strategic about where the government spends money.
Okay.
Focusing on areas that have the highest multiplier effects. So things like infrastructure.
Okay.
Education.
Got it. So it's not just about throwing money at the problem. It's about making those dollars work harder.
Smarter, not harder.
I like it.
He also suggests, you know, using tax cuts strategically, you know, putting more money directly into the hands of low-income individuals.
Okay.
Small businesses, you know, the folks who are most likely to actually spend that money and boost demand.
Right. Because you give a millionaire another $1 million, they're probably not going to change their spending habits that much.
Right.
But you give somebody who's struggling to make ends meet, you know, an extra $100, that's going straight back into the economy.
Exactly. They're going to spend it. Makes sense. Yeah. What are, you know, things like interest rates and stuff? Does he talk about that at all?
Yeah. On the monetary policy side, he suggests lowering interest rates to encourage borrowing and investment.
Yeah.
You know, make it easier for businesses to expand and create new jobs.
So cheaper loans basically could lead to more businesses, more jobs, everybody wins.
That's the idea. And of course, you can't ignore the global economy. You know, Bernard advocates for trade policies that prioritize American-made materials and products.
Right, keep those jobs here.
Exactly, keep those dollars here at home.
Yeah, I could definitely get behind that. Now, what about those social safety nets we talked about? You know, how do they factor into all of this?
Yeah, well, Bernard argues that strong social safety nets, they're actually crucial for maximizing those economic benefits.
Interesting.
The idea is that when people feel economically secure, they're more likely to spend their money rather than hoard it.
Right, it reduces that fear factor. So
Exactly.
it's like this positive feedback loop. The safety net encourages spending, which boosts the economy, which makes that safety net even stronger.
Exactly. It's all interconnected.
I like it. Now, I know he talks in the paper about the interstate highway system.
Oh, yeah.
What does that have to do with, building a new electric grid?
Well, this is where he really kind of delves into the economic impact of the highway system, and it's a pretty impressive story.
Okay, I'm all ears laid on me.
All right. So, first and foremost, it created this massive amount of jobs.
Okay.
Thousands of construction workers, engineers, manufacturers, not to mention all the indirect
Right,
jobs.
all the businesses that popped up around those highways.
Exactly. And these weren't just, minimum wage gigs. A lot of them were union jobs, good wages, benefits.
So putting money in people's pockets, and
That's
they went out and spent it.
exactly fueled even more economic activity.
Yeah.
And then there's the impact on trade and transportation. Goods could suddenly be shipped across the country faster, more efficiently, which lowered costs for businesses and consumers.
So it's not just jobs, it's this whole new level of efficiency and productivity.
Right. It's
Now, did the highways help some areas more than others?
Yeah.
Were there certain regions that really benefited?
Absolutely. The interstate system opened up vast areas of the country for business and tourism,
Right.
created new opportunities in places that had previously been isolated.
So it's like this domino effect. You build the road,
Yeah.
and then everything around it starts to grow and develop.
Exactly. And what's even more impressive is that the economic benefits of the interstate system,
Yeah.
they're still being felt today, decades after its completion.
Wow. So we're talking long-term gains here, not just a quick bump.
Right, a legacy.
Now I'm starting to see how a new electric grid could have that kind of similar ripple effect
Yeah.
across the country. But I still have this question. How do we make sure that the benefits reach everybody, particularly those rural communities that, have often been left behind?
That's the million-dollar question, and it leads us to one of the most fascinating and potentially game-changing concepts in Bernard's research,
Okay, hit me with it.
the idea of marginal propensity to contribute.
Marginal propensity to contribute.
Yeah, or MPC for short.
Okay, now you're just using big words to make me feel like I need to go back to econ class.
All right.
What is marginal propensity to contribute?
No, it's a fair question. It sounds intimidating, but it's actually a pretty straightforward concept, basically. It measures how likely people are to use any extra income they receive to actually contribute to their community.
Contribute how? Like donate to charity or something.
That's one way, yeah. But it also includes things like investing in local businesses, shopping locally, participating in community development projects, basically any activity that helps strengthen and grow that local economy.
Okay, so I'm starting to see how this ties into the bigger picture. So if a new grid leads to, this economic boom, particularly in rural areas, a higher MPC could really amplify those benefits.
Right, it could spread the wealth, so to speak.
Exactly. So it's like we're planting a seed and then it grows into this whole forest of prosperity.
Exactly. But there's a catch, maximizing that MPC. It's not automatic.
I figured there had to be a twist.
Yeah.
What are the challenges and how do we overcome them?
Well, we'll dive into that next. But first, I think it's worth taking a moment to reflect on what we've covered so far.
Yeah.
We've seen how a new electric grid could be so much more than just an infrastructure project. It could really be this catalyst for economic growth and renewal across the whole country.
Yeah, we've talked about, strategic investments, smart policies, even that community spirit, all these things that could help turn this ambitious vision into a reality.
Exactly.
But as you said, there are challenges, and that's what we're going to explore in this final part of our deep dive.
Okay, we're back for the final part of our deep dive into, this whole idea of a new electric grid and all the economic potential that comes with it. And last time we were talking about this concept of marginal propensity to contribute, MPC, the idea that people would take this, extra income, this boost in prosperity, and actually reinvest it in their communities. But how do we make sure that actually happens? Yeah, it's a great question. And it's not as simple as just flipping a switch, unfortunately,
Yeah.
maximizing that MPC. It requires a kind of multifaceted approach.
Yeah.
One challenge is just overcoming existing disparities. A lot of these rural communities, they've been struggling for decades
Right.
with limited access to resources opportunities.
Yeah.
And, just building a new grid, it's not going to magically erase those disparities overnight.
Right. So we need to be realistic about the timeline here.
Absolutely.
This is, you know, a long-term commitment.
It is.
To revitalizing these communities.
Yeah. And it's not just about infrastructure. It's about creating an environment where people feel empowered to contribute.
Okay.
And one way to do that is by making sure that the jobs created by this new grid, you know, they're accessible to everyone in the community.
Right.
Regardless of their background or their education level.
So job training programs, apprenticeships, you know, things like
that. Ways to make sure that everybody has a chance to get on board and benefit.
I like it. What about the environmental impact?
Yeah, that's another crucial consideration. You know, a new grid means new infrastructure, which could potentially disrupt ecosystems, wildlife habitats. So it's really important that we approach this in a sustainable way.
Right.
You know, minimize our impact on the natural world.
Yeah. It's not just about economic growth. It's about,
yeah,
you know, responsible development.
Absolutely.
We don't want to create prosperity in one area while causing harm in another.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance, you know, where both people and the planet benefit.
Right.
And Bernard, he talks about this idea of fostering a sense of community.
Okay.
Shared prosperity.
Yeah.
And he says that's really essential for maximizing that MPC.
So it's not just about the money. It's about creating a culture where people feel invested in their communities.
Yeah. They want to see their communities thrive.
Exactly.
And that sense of shared purpose. You know, it can be encouraged through government policies, community outreach programs, even just, you know, good old-fashioned neighborly spirit.
Right, right. So it's kind of a top-down, bottom-up approach,
you
know, working together.
Yeah, a combination.
To create something really special.
Yeah.
Now, even with all that, are there going to be people who, you know, they just don't buy into this whole idea of contributing? You know, they'd rather just save their money or...
Yeah, of course. You know, human nature is complex.
Right.
And there will always be some people who prioritize, you know, saving over spending or contributing.
Yeah.
But by creating this environment that encourages and rewards, you know, community investment.
Right.
We can kind of nudge that balance in a more positive direction.
I like it. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
It's been quite a journey, you know, from national security to economic multipliers from the Tennessee Valley Authority to, you know, this whole idea of MPC and community investment. What stands out to you as the most important takeaway from all of this?
You know, I think for me, it's this realization that a new electric grid, it's not just about wires and electrons, you know,
right.
It's about creating a brighter future for all Americans.
Yeah.
A future that's powered by clean energy.
Economic opportunity and a shared sense of purpose.
Well said.
It's about recognizing that our economy, you know, it's not just this machine.
Right.
It's a reflection of our values and our choices.
I love that. And as always, we like to leave our listeners with something to ponder, you know, food for thought.
Absolutely.
So if a new electric grid did lead to this surge in economic prosperity, you know, what would you do with that extra income? Would you save it? Would you spend it? Would you invest it in your community? Or maybe a little bit of all three?
It's a good question.
The choice is yours. But whatever you decide, we encourage you to think about the wider implications of your actions, because in the end, the future we create, it's a collective one.
It is.
It's shaped by the choices we make every single day.
Well said.
So keep those electrons flowing, deep divers. And until next time, stay curious.